is the Come Read With Me podcast. Welcome to Come Read With Me, the Book of Mormon, episode number 24. Welcome back to Come Read With Me, the Book of Mormon. Today, we are excited to jump right back into 2 Nephi. We're reading chapter 3 today of 2 Nephi. I'm going to give a quick recap. Dave is going to dive into the reading, and we'll be jumping in throughout to try and make sure that it's easy to understand for everybody listening. So, quick recap of where we are. Of course, in 1 Nephi, we covered the great journey of Lehi leaving Jerusalem with his family and everything that happened there as they got to the promised land. Now, at the start of 2 Nephi, they're in the promised land. They're in the new world. And Lehi is taking an opportunity to teach his sons before he dies all of the last things he needs them to know. In chapter 1, he took an opportunity to talk to Laman, to Lemuel, to Sam, to Zoram, to the sons of Ishmael, and to ask them to arise from the dust and be men. He's asking them to awake. He's giving them a sense of their responsibility, a sense of their duty, a sense of the obligations they have to a God that has just blessed them in so many ways. He's giving them prophecies about the new world and that righteousness shall make them prosper in the new land. He focuses on that a lot in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he's talking to Jacob. Lehi is talking to his son Jacob, talking about through redemption, through the Holy Messiah. He's talking about Jesus Christ, a great chapter, talking about our Lord and Savior. And he talks about how all men must repent and come unto Jesus Christ, a fantastic message. And of course, one of my favorite parts of that chapter as well, he talks about how our afflictions can be consecrated for our gain. If you feel afflicted, go back and read chapter 2. I think you'll like it. That's our recap of where we're at. And Dave, Lehi's going to keep talking. So I'll turn it over to you.
Eric, that's awesome. Your energy in recapping is great. Keep going. This is great. Listeners, we appreciate you listening in. And as we read in chapter 3, this is now Lehi who's going to speak to his one of his sons, Joseph. So let's jump in. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 1. And now I speak unto you, Joseph, my last born. Thou wast born in the wilderness of mine afflictions. Yea, in the days of my greatest sorrow did thy mother bear thee. And may the Lord consecrate also unto thee this land, which is a most precious land, for thine inheritance and the inheritance of thy seed with thy brethren, for thy security forever, if it so be that ye shall keep the commandments of the Holy One of Israel. And now, Joseph, my last born, whom I have brought out of the wilderness of mine afflictions, may the Lord bless thee forever, for thy seed shall not utterly be destroyed. For behold, thou art the fruit of my loins, and I am a descendant of Joseph, who was carried captive into Egypt. And great were the covenants of the Lord, which he made unto Joseph. Wherefore Joseph truly saw our day, and he obtained a promise of the Lord, that out of the fruit of his loins the Lord God would raise up a righteous branch unto the house of Israel, not the Messiah, but a branch which was to be broken off, nevertheless to be remembered in the covenants of the Lord, that the Messiah should be made manifest unto them in the latter days, in the spirit of power, unto the bringing of them out of darkness unto light, yea, out of hidden darkness and out of captivity unto freedom. For Joseph truly testified, saying, A seer shall the Lord my God raise up, who shall be a choice seer unto the fruit of my loins. Yea, Joseph truly said, Thus saith the Lord unto me, A choice seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I give commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren, which shall be of great worth unto them, even to the bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers. And I will give unto him a commandment that he shall do none other work save the work which I shall command him. And I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work. And he shall be great like unto Moses, whom I have said I would raise up unto you, to deliver my people, O house of Israel. And Moses will I raise up, to deliver thy people out of the land of Egypt. Just one thing, I know we've read a lot here about Joseph of old, of the Bible.
Yeah, I was hoping you could explain who these great ones are and all the loins going on.
Well, I was just going to say that, out of the fruit of thy loins, that's posterity.
Yes.
So that's descendants, that's, you know, children and children's children, etc. As we talk about our genealogy or our ancestry or who came before us. That's what it's referred to as out of the fruit of thy loins. So Lehi was talking to his son Joseph, saying that I, Lehi, am a descendant of Joseph of the Old Testament. Now, Lehi knew that by reading the brass plates. We talked about that in earlier episodes, that the brass plates, which Lehi's sons obtained from Laban, contained a genealogy.
Yes.
And so this is Lehi talking about the prophecies that Joseph of the Old Testament is talking about, that out of the fruit of thy loins shall a choice seer, or, and that's a literal word, seer, S-E-E-R, a prophet will come through the lineage of Joseph of the Old Testament.
So who is that choice seer that's being referred to here?
Okay, now that's a great question. As we'll read in the following verses, there are many references. It is Joseph Smith of the latter days. Now, listeners, as you may recall, Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon, which was written upon golden plates. So Joseph Smith did not make up or originate these words, but rather he translated these ancient writings of Lehi, Nephi, many other prophets that we're going to get to. He translated those writings that were on the golden plates.
That's awesome. So that choice seer is going to raise up out of the fruit of thy loins. So this is talking about Joseph of Egypt, saying that Joseph Smith is going to be a descendant of Joseph of Egypt. Is that right?
That's correct. They're coming through the same lineage, the same line. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
All right. These next verses that we're about to read, verses 11 through 19, talk specifically about Joseph of old testifying of a new Joseph through his lineage, which is Joseph Smith. So these next verses will explain some of his role, his mission, things that Joseph Smith did. Jumping back in verse 11. But a seer I will raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, and unto him I will give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins, and not to the bringing forth of my word only, saith the Lord, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth from among them. Just a quick reminder that the convincing of them of my word is a reference to the title page, where the Lord says that the purpose of the Book of Mormon is that they may know the covenants of the Lord, that they are not cast off forever, and also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God. So it's kind of interesting because what we're going to continue reading is a prophecy within the Book of Mormon about the Book of Mormon. It's kind of exciting.
I like that. But also, I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. It says, but to the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them. And what that's talking about, of course, is the Bible having gone forth, you know, to all nations, which didn't happen for many, many hundreds of years after the Bible had been written, right? For most of that time, the Bible, of course, was only available to, you know, high up aristocracy and to the leaders of different churches until it was finally translated into English and other languages, and thankfully disseminated more broadly to people. So I think that's what it's talking about there as well, that the purpose of this seer, this prophet, this leader that is going to be brought forth is to not only convince them of new words, right, to bring forth my words, but also to convince people of the words they already have.
Yeah, excellent. Jumping back in verse 12. Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together, unto the confounding of false doctrines, and laying down of contentions, and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, and also to the knowledge of my covenants, saith the Lord. All right, Eric, I don't want to totally pick apart every verse in here, but that was a powerful verse.
Great one.
So there were two things that were talked about, the fruit of the loins of Judah and the fruit of the loins of Lehi and his descendants, which would be, in this case, the Gentiles. So we've got two different groups of people, both who have written something, and these two writings are going to be joined together for various purposes, one of which shall be the confounding of false doctrine. Now, yes. By two or three witnesses shall all truth be established. We have the Old Testament, the New Testament. We have another testament of Jesus Christ, which is the Book of Mormon. And as those two writings or books grow together, there will be confounding of false doctrines. There will be laying down of contentions, contention being conflict, fighting, disagreements. So as people follow the writings of these two books, these two words, there will be a laying down of contention, In addition, there will be establishing peace, as well as bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days, as well as the knowledge of the covenants that the Lord has made. That is awesome. That's a packed full verse.
And that's saying that that's the purpose of these two books coming together.
Yes.
Right? Of course, it would be difficult to say that the Bible in and of itself was able to bring peace, right?
It was almost opposite that in many, many respects.
Right. I think the Bible, of course, on a personal level, has the ability to bring one closer to Jesus Christ and to the Spirit and can bring tremendous peace that way. But because of the things that were omitted or lost throughout years of translation or omission and different things that happened with the Bible, so much contention was brought about by people who were trying to interpret the Bible in different ways, people who understood it just plainly differently, people who even had certain books of Scripture that other people didn't consider Scripture, and both of them called it the Bible, right? So there's so much of what the Bible had that was sort of at odds with the end result that the Lord needed. The words of the Book of Mormon being added to the Bible, which clarifies and solidifies so many things. The Book of Mormon does nothing to take away from the Bible,
not
right?
At all.
But it adds so much, right? So much clarity, so much precision. The Bible, the Book of Mormon together, just pull all these loose ends together and just ties it up so that it's all easily understood, so that there can be no confusion, or so that it's at least greatly reduced the amount of confusion that can be had.
One thing that you had mentioned was, not that the Bible caused conflict, it certainly caused a lot of greatness and goodness and peace and knowledge to the individual. But as you mentioned, the Bible was not widely available to everybody. And so, unfortunately, the motives of man entered in. And people could use the Bible for different reasons, certainly to promote the good word of God. They could also use it to manipulate people or to prove a point that they wanted to do or to diminish something that they didn't think was important. Now, that's man's motive of what they can do. However, the Lord's motive with revealing words of Scripture is what I just read in verse 12, those five different things. And so the Lord's motive is to give us the Bible, the Word of God, as well as the Book of Mormon, the Word of God, as well as the Word of God through other various sources. And his motives are pure to those five things, not for individual gain, but to bring us closer to Christ.
Absolutely. And again, those five things: confounding false doctrines, laying down contentions, peace, bringing knowledge of our fathers, and knowledge of the covenants. And so much can come of those, so many blessings can come of those five things.
Awesome. Great commentary. Let's jump back in verse 13. And out of weakness he shall be made strong, in that day when my work shall commence among all my people, unto the restoring thee, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And thus prophesied Joseph, saying, Behold, that seer will the Lord bless, and they that seek to destroy him shall be confounded. For this promise which I have obtained of the Lord, of the fruit of my loins, shall be fulfilled. Behold, I am sure of the fulfilling of this promise. And his name shall be called after me, and it shall be after the name of his father, and he shall be like unto me, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord shall bring my people unto salvation. Yea, thus prophesied Joseph, I am sure of this thing, even as I am sure of the promise of Moses, for the Lord hath said unto me, I will preserve thy seed forever. And the Lord hath said, I will raise up a Moses, and I will give power unto him in a rod, and I will give judgment unto him in writing. Yet I will not loose his tongue, that he shall speak much, for I will not make him mighty in speaking. But I will write unto him my law by the finger of mine own hand, and I will make a spokesman for him. And the Lord said unto me also, I will raise up unto the fruit of thy loins, and I will make for him a spokesman. And I, behold, I will give unto him that he shall write the writing of the fruit of thy loins unto the fruit of thy loins, and the spokesman of thy loins shall declare it. And the words which he shall write shall be the words which are expedient in my wisdom should go forth unto the fruit of thy loins. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins had cried unto them from the dust, for I know their faith.
All right, Dave, quick question for you here then. I'm trying to understand, looks like at verse 16, it's Joseph still talking, Joseph of Egypt, still kind of being talked about here, right? And this is Lehi talking about the things that Joseph of Egypt prophesied. And it looks like he prophesied of Moses, right? And it's saying here that I am sure of the promise of Moses, for the Lord hath said unto me, I will preserve thy seed forever. After that, it seems to be talking about Moses still, correct?
Yeah.
Is that how you get it?
Yeah, absolutely. In verse 17, as Joseph says, that the Lord will raise up a Moses and give power unto him in a rod, which we know from stories in the Old Testament.
Okay, yep, the staff, yeah.
Yeah, give him judgment unto writing. He was able to write, but he was not gifted in speaking. He had a spokesman.
Yes, okay. And we know his gift in writing because he was able to write the first five books of the Old Testament.
Correct. Correct?
So there's that yep. there as well, okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, his spokesperson was Aaron.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So yeah, he continues on in verse 17 to talk about the spokesperson for Moses, because Moses was not mighty in speaking, as it says.
Okay. Sounds good. I just want to make sure it was clear who's being discussed here, because Joseph Smith is also referred to as sort of a Moses type in this scripture as well. So I just want to make sure that where it's talking about one and the other is clear.
You know, to add on that, let's go back and say that in verse 14, Joseph of Egypt is prophesying of Joseph Smith in the latter days. And I think it's great here in verse 15. He says, his name, Joseph Smith, shall be called after me, Joseph of Egypt, and it shall be after the name of his father. Joseph Smith, his father was Joseph Smith Sr.
Yep.
Joseph Smith Jr. was the one that translated these writings from the golden plates.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Let's jump back in verse 20. And they shall cry from the dust, yea, even repentance unto their brethren, even after many generations have gone by them. And it shall come to pass that their cry shall go, even according to the simpleness of their words. Because of their faith, their words shall proceed forth out of my mouth unto their brethren, who are the fruit of thy loins. And the weakness of their words will I make strong in their faith, unto the remembering of my covenant which I made unto thy fathers. And now behold, my son Joseph, after this manner did my father of old prophesy. All right, we're transitioning now back from Joseph of Egypt being quoted by Lehi to Lehi saying, all right, Joseph, my son, this is what my father, Joseph of Egypt, had said. So this is where he transitions.
There's lots of Josephs going on here, right?
Yes, Joseph of lots Egypt, of fruits of loins and such.
Lehi's son, Joseph. Joseph Smith, right? The seer that's going to be raised up. And then, yeah, lots of Josephs happening.
Okay, here we go. Back in verse 23. Wherefore, because of this covenant, thou art blessed, for thy seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book. And there shall rise up one mighty among them, who shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being an instrument in the hands of God, with exceeding faith to work mighty wonders, and do that thing which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing to pass much restoration unto the house of Israel, and unto the seed of thy brethren. And now, blessed art thou, Joseph. Behold, thou art little. Wherefore, hearken unto the words of thy brother, Nephi, and it shall be done unto thee, even according to the words which I have spoken. Remember the words of thy dying father. Amen.
Awesome, Dave. Thank you for reading that. So I just want to summarize what I think some of this is saying. And Dave, jump in and correct me where I'm wrong here. So it's saying that Joseph of Egypt, right? This is multicolored coat Joseph, all the way back in Egypt. He's making a lot of prophecies about what's going to happen. And then Lehi's kind of filling in the gaps for his son. Now, there's Joseph of Egypt and there's Joseph, Lehi's son. And what he's saying to Joseph, his son, is that he's saying that there's Joseph of Egypt and that out of Joseph of Egypt is going to come two writings. There's going to be Judah, right? The Jews, right? The book, the Bible, the writings of Judah, which becomes the Bible. And then there's going to be Lehi's descendants, which are also writing and talking about all of the great miraculous things that happen among their people and ultimately the visitation of Jesus Christ.
And we could even say Jew and Gentile.
There you go. And that these writings are going to be brought together by another Joseph, Joseph Smith, right? And that Joseph Smith is kind of the prophet that is called to kind of combine the two together, which then, of course, will do those five things we talked about.
Yeah, he'll do those five things that we talked about: the confounding of false doctrine, the laying down of contention, the establishing peace, bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers, and to the knowledge of the covenants of the Lord.
Okay, awesome. So this is a great chapter kind of talking about, you know, a prophecy about what's going to happen and why these writings are so important. Now, I don't know if the combination of the Book of Mormon with the Bible has yet accomplished all that it will accomplish, but I do have faith that what's written here is scripture and will be fulfilled. So I hope that what our readers can understand from all of this is the purpose of the Book of Mormon. And the purpose of the Book of Mormon is not to displace the Bible, but to strengthen its foundations and to add so much and make sure that any contention or confusion that may be brought about by different interpretations of the Bible can be clarified so that there can be peace.
Absolutely. At the end of verse 11, like you said, it's not to displace or replace what's already been written, but it is to the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them. So all of this is to convince us of the Lord's word. And the Lord is going to try in various ways and many different means to help us understand his words, his covenants, his promises, his gospel, the mission of his son. And if he needs to do that with the Bible, with the Old Testament, and then again with the New Testament, and now with another testament of Jesus Christ, with the Book of Mormon, he's going to continue to do that. And it would not surprise me, Eric, if there are other means and methods and words, holy words, that the Lord has used or will use to help convince us that Jesus is the Christ, to bring us closer to him.
Absolutely. I think there's no limit on what the Lord is able to do. And I look forward to seeing more of what the Lord's able to do in the future. But all of this really comes back to, why is all this important? Why is Lehi talking about these different writings and these different prophets and the different times and people and when it comes together? Why it's important is because these are the tools by which people will be brought to an understanding of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is the point of all of this. And that if any of us hope to come unto Jesus and to feel his spirit and to be guided by him and to be redeemed by him, we need to take upon ourselves his name. And yep. In order to do that, we need to know who he is, and we need to read these books to find out. And that's why this is so important, is because it's Jesus Christ, and he is the center of it all.
Yep. Well said.
Okay, then we'll wrap this one up here. Thank you for listening. Join us again next time as we continue reading the Book of Mormon together. Quick disclaimer here, this podcast is not produced by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Everything expressed in this podcast is the opinion of the people making it, and it is not endorsed by the church or its leaders. Everything in this podcast is intended to promote faith in Jesus Christ by helping you understand the Book of Mormon. Please listen to this podcast with an open heart and pray for guidance from the Lord as you continue reading the Book of Mormon. Thank you for listening.